get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev on Stage, with the lovely and luxurious Miss Kev on Stage. Girl, you look good. Won't you back that thing up? He's a big, fine woman. You're not big.
Stop.
He's a slim, fine woman. Won't you back that thing? We haven't been here for 2 weeks.
Sorry.
Life got in the way. My birthday.
Happy birthday, Kevin Fredericks.
32.
Happy Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
What else? And I think that's all we missed.
The last 2 weekends I've been working, shooting. Yes. Actually, this weekend too, but we still were able to do this. But last week was Mother's Day. The week prior was my birthday.
Oh, I wanted to talk about this too.
First, before we get started, I want to let you guys know, I was going to say that too.
Oh.
Our podcast was featured in Ebony Magazine.
Yay!
Black Women Who Podcast.
That's me.
Shout out Miss Kev on Stage. The article is Black Women Who Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can't put a link in the description to a podcast.
No.
But the YouTube video, I'll put it there. But you can search Ebony Black Women Who Podcast and Melissa's.
I retweeted it, and I have a little caption on my Instagram that talks about our podcast specifically. But it shouts out, like, The Read. If you're at all a podcast person, you know about The Read. It's a pop culture podcast. They're absolutely hysterical. Last Name Basis, which is a relationship podcast with the female in the marriage actually is black. The guy is white, and they're funny. They just kind of talk. And a couple other ones I started listening to just to kind of get ideas about what else is out there. But definitely an honor. I was really super duper excited.
You should be.
We haven't been doing this but for 3 minutes, so.
Yeah. And it was our goal to do it weekly. And we try. We do try.
We suck.
But we have regular jobs and kids and stuff. So sometimes that gets in the way. So as much as possible, we'll try to do it weekly. But we're back this week. Love our live. Also,
why'd your voice drop like that?
Because I'm a man. Oh. May 23rd, if you're in LA, we're going to be in Erica Campbell's More Than
Yes.
Pretty at Faithful Central Church. So if you just follow Erica Campbell, all the information is there about registering. And June 6th, we will be in Houston doing our very first Love Hour Live. I'm just checking that
it's
date.
It's our second Love Hour.
Second Love Hour Live. I'm sorry, we did one in Washington. That date is the first Saturday in June. I want to say that's June 6th. June 6th at Fallbrook Church. And you'll see more details on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, if you follow me. I'll make a YouTube video shortly once I have the flyer.
Come
and you guys
on
are the first
now
to hear. That one in Houston is free. It's at 10 a.m., I believe. So more details. That's in about 3 weeks from now. So we'll talk about it again there. But today we are doing a book review. Love and Respect, which Melissa read and I listened
audio
to.
Read.
She listened to. First of all, audiobooks are not bad. I don't know why we harp on them.
No, audiobooks are the best thing ever in the history of America. In fact, I'm going to reach out to audible.com.
Audible, we're coming for you.
We're coming for you today.
Sponsor this podcast.
To be a sponsor so our listeners can get discounts through the website, so I will be reaching out to you. So hopefully all of you, if you're interested in the books, I'm thinking about starting a book club, kind of ish.
Not without that sponsorship, you don't.
Where we kind of review a book and talk about it and give you guys ideas to read about.
You think you Oprah now?
Yeah, you know.
You think you Oprah?
I was featured in like a podcast, oh, women, black women thing.
So I'm stabbing now. You big shot in Ebony. Jet Booty of the Week. I said Jet Booty. Beauty, Father, forgive us.
That was a Freudian slip.
Yeah, that was a Freudian slip. So anyway, today's book we listened to
Yes, we read
Love and Respect.
Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerichs.
Emerson Eggerichs. Eggerichs.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
Eggerichs.
Oops. Eggerichs. So Liz is going to kick us off. Kick us off.
So I'm going to kick us off. So the title of the book is Love and Respect, and the basic premise of the book is that, which I found to be extremely revolutionary because I've never heard of this before, but basically the author, who is a Christian, talks about how we've become a culture where we talk about unconditional love and we expect to receive unconditional love and you expect to give out unconditional love. But in the same manner that we expect unconditional love as women, he says that we are to give unconditional respect to our husbands or your significant other. And the reason why is because women speak love and men speak respect. So a man would rather feel respected than to hear. And let me ask you that. Is that true? Would you rather feel respected than to hear I love you?
Absolutely.
And I think for the women, I'm not interested so much in respect because respect doesn't speak love to me. I'd rather you love on me than to hear I respect you and I trust your decision making. That type of thing.
If you didn't respect me, but you said I feel like you couldn't love me if you didn't respect
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Like, how could you love me if you don't respect
it's
me?
It's funny she asked, and I'm reading another book, so they're going to kind of mix, but I'm reading a new book called For Women Only. It's a great book. I'll book review that one shortly. Where she asked a question. It was something to the effect of, would you rather hear I love you or would you rather know that your spouse respects you? And in one of the questionnaire groups that she was asking, the person came back to her and said the men didn't like this question because they felt like there weren't different choices. If you love me, then you respect me. And that's how a man thinks about
right.
it. And for a woman, those are like two totally different. Those are, they don't necessarily correspond. And so, just again, kind of going back to, I think the last episode we did was with submission.
Yes.
Going back to submission, a man needs to feel, and you can chime in on this, that you respect them, which really means you trust them.
Right.
You trust their decision making. You trust their logic behind whatever it is and however they're leading their family. One of the things that I found really interesting in the new book that I'm reading, and they kind of tie together, is that a man has, okay, we all know a man likes his ego to be stroked, and sometimes we pass that off as just being kind of egotistical. And she was saying that the reason really why is because a man is actually extremely insecure about being found out to be an imposter. Mm. That they're really not doing as great of, because they have this huge responsibility to lead their family. And they're doing the best they can. They're praying about it. They're doing all of these things. But if someone were to really find out, they feel like underneath it, it's like the Wizard of Oz. I'm this big, huge wizard, but really I'm this little man in the back, really hoping and praying, I hope I'm doing this right.
That's
and
absolutely.
So they need to be reassured.
100% true.
I trust you. I'm putting, you know, I trust you to lead our family in the right direction. I trust your judgment. I trust your logic. I believe what you say you're going to do, you are going to do. And when that happens, a man is able to lead with confidence.
Absolutely. And that also is the same almost in work as well.
Well, say it, Kev, because I'm going to move on because I got a question.
Say what? Say that's the same thing that happens in work?
Yeah, say it.
Yeah, that's like you. Especially as a Wizard of Oz is a great example because I feel like as a man you often know what you're doing, mm-hmm. but you can also not know what you're doing, and it's very hard to be like I don't know what I'm doing, especially in work. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd rather go out in a blaze of glory, completely wrong, than to risk vulnerability and be like I'm not so sure that it comes out, and like 10 times more in your relationship. I remember when we were talking about moving here. I can imagine you being like, I love you, but I don't think we should do this. And I don't respect you enough to be like, lead us like that.
Which again, going back to is trust. Submission. Yeah. I'm telling you guys, I'm getting this whole revelation on what submission really is. And it's really about trust.
Yeah.
It's really. And that's all it is. When a woman says, in theory, I don't believe we as women have it. I don't know if I said this before, but I don't think we have an issue necessarily with submitting. What we have an issue with is submitting to someone we don't believe
right,
can lead us in the right direction.
Right.
That's what I think. And so when a man says, we want to do this, and we're like, yeah, but that's a bad idea. So let's talk about it, and let me really kind of instruct you on what we really should be doing, because you clearly don't know what you're talking about. I think that's where we have, and then when men are like, no, I'm the man, I'm going to do this, and then we're looking like, yeah, so I have an issue with that. That's where I think we start to butt heads.
Right. I totally agree. I totally agree. It's probably the most crippling thing you could do to a man, at least to me. I imagine I can think
most
of
most men.
Yeah, I was gonna say, to me, probably the same for Jay. And
I think just most men. Of course, there's always gonna be exceptions to the rule, but I think most men, they have an inherent need for respect. In fact, Emerson, again, he's a Christian, he points out a scripture. And I'm not going to remember where it is, and I meant to write it down. I didn't. But where Jesus commands the man to love his wife and the woman to respect her husband. And he says that's by no mistake. Women naturally will love. Men naturally will give off respect. But what we need to do is the opposite to each other.
That's good word. That's good work.
It was really good stuff. I'm telling you, I was reading this book. All types of revelations was coming down. The other thing I think is important here, and we got a letter, an email from one of the listeners, and she was explaining how her husband is basically a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
give the backstory.
Yes. So he's a workaholic. He is a he's self-employed. So he works, and it's taking him away from family time. And she keeps trying to tell him, "Hey, I need you home. You're more than employable. If you've done the self-employment thing, you've been successful at it. Now just get a regular job so you can come home and be at home." And as a woman, listen, I get you, boo. I get you. Because for women, that's important. We want our man at home. We want to feel like we're family and we have time together. Because again, love sometimes, especially if your love language is time mm-hmm. together, and he's outside of your love tank is empty. So you're going to yearn for, I need you at home. I need your attention. I need you to love on me. So I get it all the way. And I'm with you. One of the revelations I got with this book, because I think that happens a lot, is a man's need to provide for his family is so strong that he will work himself to the bone for fear of being found out to be an imposter.
Listen.
That the fear of, I can't provide for my family. The fear of, what if the mortgage isn't paid this
month?
Let
me tell you how real this is. I have a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Work more than 40 hours a week. I also do YouTube. Also do podcasting, also do stand-up comedy. I'm thinking now what my plan will be for no good reason. If my current job was to lay me off, fire me, quit, close its doors, how will I then provide? Mm-hmm. Like, I have a trigger plan in mind just so I can do it. And I don't even have a reason to yet. And I've been that workaholic guy. This is one of the rough patches of our marriage. One of the other ones was when I was working full time and I was pursuing stand up comedy mm-hmm. and I was out four or five nights a week trying to perfect this craft and not getting paid, but knowing that if I wanted to be who I really was, I had to do this work. And you were like not only giving me verbal cues, you know, notes, you were, you know, overtly saying, you
I need your help.
Got to pull back. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I found your diary.
You did?
I found your diary. And that is what clicked in my head.
Good.
I was cleaning up. Did you leave it out on purpose?
No.
I found your diary. It's funny because Charlamagne found his diary, his wife's diary, and that's why he married her.
Yeah.
But I found your diary, and I didn't even know you were reading, I mean, writing a diary.
I don't anymore.
Yeah, because I got my act together. Those actions made you write a diary. Once I figured it out, you stopped. But I found your diary, and you were saying, like, some stuff. And it wasn't hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
It was from an honest place of, I don't know how I can get him to understand that what he's doing is pulling us apart. And that's the reason why we're having these issues, and he doesn't see it. And all I saw was, I gotta get out and get it. And even though we had good jobs
mm-hmm.
that paid well and the kids were doing videos and they were okay and they were going to private school, still the desire to give more was like basically driving a wedge. So I ended up having to pull back. And
but how do you help that? So I say my part, and we're going to go back, Kev, because I think we have to come full circle for this listener. And that, okay, women. So this is what I'm telling you. If your husband is a workaholic, I also have someone that I know, and her husband is constantly thinking of these schemes to stop working his regular 9-to-5 and to work to be self-employed.
Yeah.
And she's like, these aren't good ideas. It's just not a really good idea. And so what I had to tell her.
You've been there too, haven't you?
And I have been there.
You have a husband who's had those same.
Yes.
So what we got to do.
Right.
The answer is squeegees. Everybody needs squeegees.
You always have a dreamer in a relationship and a realist. And as realists, sometimes we have to be really careful to temper, especially if the dreamer is the man. We have to be careful to temper. And I'm not saying that I've always been good at this. I've gotten better, I think.
You're a dream killer early on. Being a realist, you be a dream killer.
Yes.
Because so guess what? Some dreams came true. You feel me?
I never. Okay, so.
No. Say what you're going
to
say.
What we're going to say. No. What we're going to say is that as realists, sometimes we have to be very careful not to be a dream snatcher and a dream killer with your little dreams. You want to go do this? How about you go? Yeah, we have to be careful not to do that. Well, but especially when it's the man, because you have to understand that his motive is pure. And so what you have to say is, I understand you want to provide for our family, and I support you in that 100%. Let's figure out a way where you could do this and that, because I love you and I want you home, but I understand you also need, you have a desire, a God-given desire and need to provide for their family.
Yeah.
I think men it's just intrinsic in who, in the makeup of a man. And women, we don't have that. You know, most of us, again, not everyone, but most of us, we just don't. I don't sit at home thinking of ways. If I get fired, listen, we just gonna have to figure out what, because I don't have a plan B. I just go to work and do what I have to do. I just, that's just the way I work.
Right.
I don't have this desire to figure out how to make sure there's enough money coming into house. Of course, I go to work and I'm a good employee and I do all of those things. I'm responsible, but I don't have a need to figure out how to provide for this family.
Right. Well, you don't have the burden of pressure.
And that's my point.
Yeah. Because if it falls apart and we got to move in with our parents, nobody's going to fault you.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, man, her husband didn't lead them right. He didn't work enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the biggest fear. This is why people sell drugs, I think. Black men. Because they got to provide and they don't see no way.
We're not suggesting that you sell drugs.
We're not suggesting that you sell drugs. But it's very similar to the other mind. It's like, okay, what can I do to make sure?
Yeah.
And they don't see, you know, prison and all that stuff. But I want to get them recidivism in the State of the Union, the systematic racism and oppression.
Right. So so I got all of these revelations. So I think, again, women, we just have to be mindful. We have to understand you have to understand the man's perspective. You have to understand that it really is coming from a pure place, a very honest place that is afraid of not being able to provide for his family, a fear of being found out that he's not who he says he is.
You know what? I want to ask you something you just thought about. You just triggered that in my mind. You were talking about this fear of, like, not who you say you are and providing stuff like that. I think let me ask you this. If things didn't work out, like the man's job, you know, if he doesn't have this small business and he has to work a job, I think he will. Well, let me ask you. Would you feel okay having a less extravagant lifestyle and, you know, lesser place to live in exchange for having your husband with you more? Because I think a lot of times men fear that if I don't give her X, Y, and Z, then she won't think I'm good enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most women would be okay with that. I would be okay with that. We have to come. You have to have coming to the minds and say, okay,
that's a good
in
point.
Order for this to happen, we're going to have to sacrifice X, Y, and Z. And if a woman says, okay, and I have your buy-in, I'm able to submit, and we're able to move forward.
Right.
Because we develop a plan together. One thing I wanted to say really quickly, the listener letter that we received, she was saying, you know, he's done it. He's done the self-employment thing. And now, you know, he's more than employable. How about he just gets a regular 9-to-5 job? He'll make more money. He won't work as many hours. He'll be able to be home more. Like, let's just do it. You've done that. Great job. Now let's move over here. And I thought about that because I was like, yeah, that makes sense to me. And then, of course, I'm reading these books and I'm like, oh my God. The man sees, if his dream is self-employment, a 9-to-5 is regression.
It's no, not regression. It's failure.
It's fail, even worse.
The thought of having to get a 9-to-5 job, having to ask for somebody else for time off, having to make, even if you're making more money, it's like Tim Tebow in football. Mm-hmm. He could have played in the NFL. He might be back in now. But his dream is to play quarterback in the NFL. Not to play in the NFL, to play quarterback in the NFL. So he's a big guy. He could have played running back, fullback, tight end, probably would have started every game. But his dream wasn't just to play in the NFL. Now, a lot of people dream to play in the NFL. They often play quarterback in college. And the NFL is like, you're going to play receiver or cornerback? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I don't care because my dream is to play in the NFL. Right. So for them, it's not a lose. Because people are like, why wouldn't he just change positions? And he's like, no, my dream is to play quarterback in the NFL. So to that, you know, the listener or the writer's husband, his dream's not just to play in the NFL. So his dream is not just to make enough money to be, you know, it's to play quarterback. And his quarterback is owning my own business. So that's why it's not clicking in her head.
Because it doesn't, because women were so, in some respects, sometimes women are a little bit more logical. Because we're like, in some respects,
yeah,
this ain't working. Scrap it. Let's move over here. And a guy can really, his ego says, and his dream and all of these things say no.
Yeah.
And not only no, but if I say yes to that, I am a failure.
Yes.
I have been found out to be who I am not.
Here's an interesting thing too, because I work a full-time job now. When I said I never would, again, because I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be in entertainment. And for me, I didn't even see, like, the job I wanted didn't really even exist yet. So it wasn't until somebody approached me with a job that is in line with my dream that I was like, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Because this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm making YouTube videos professionally on a bigger landscape that can lead to television and movies. But if somebody just offered me $75,000, $100,000 to, like, work at Boeing again or work at a bank, I'd be like, no. I'd rather make $25,000.
I would be like, but it's $100,000.
I'd rather make $30,000.
You don't have to work as many hours. You don't get the phone calls. You clock in, you clock out. You travel home and you get a check every 2 weeks. Like, boom.
I would rather make $25,000 a year doing exactly
actually,
what I love.
Hold on. Let me regress my statement really quick. It's not men or women. It's the realists.
Yeah.
It's the realist versus the dreamer. The realist says, this makes sense. Let's do it. The dreamer says, but it's not my dream.
Right. I'd rather go out dreaming.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you need, I think for me at least, having you, the realist, to like, because when you're a dreamer, you're a dreamer all the way. Mm-hmm. You're not a dreamer with a tint of realism. You're a dreamer. Because realism pokes holes in dreams. You know what I mean? Because in my mind, I'm like, this gonna work, this gonna work, this gonna work. And you're like, what if it don't? What if it don't? What if it don't? So what really helped us succeed, I think, is me being a dreamer, but accepting your realistness. Because guess what? Sometimes those things that you say may happen do happen. So if you plan with those contingency plans in place, then you can have the success that you dreamed of without being unprepared for if it fails.
I think the number one thing that we had to come to the realization of, and this is just, again, going back, I mean, we're kind of still talking about love and respect, but using our real life examples, is that the realist is not here to rain on your parade. The realist is not here to say, I don't believe in you just because I'm asking, but what if this happens?
Right.
The realist is just can't always see. They don't always see everything happening as planned. And so they, to feel comfortable and to get my buy-in, I need to make sure we do have, well, what if that doesn't work? Well, what if that doesn't work? Well, what if that, you know, I will support you 100%. And I have. Mm-hmm. But in case something goes wrong, I need to feel comfortable that we have a plan in place.
And also, one thing that has happened is, like, even when we were doing plays, remember in my mind, we were going to tour this. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I think the plays are good. Mm-hmm. This one was the best of them.
It really was.
But I still don't know that this is a feasible thing. And back then, I just used to take it as she doesn't think it's good enough. She doesn't know the business. She doesn't know that Tyler Perry was homeless and then he made it and blah, blah, blah. But moving forward, since you're really, you know, knowing that you have no maliciousness in your thought process and knowing that you do trust me, it allows me to listen to what you're saying.
And so not stop right there, Kev, because this is a key point, women, my listener, and all of those that may be experiencing something like this. If the dreamer is the man, especially women, they have to know that. So I'm in this book. They have to know that we support them. It's so important. Like, you can't emphasize enough so. I was reading in the book that I'm reading, the lady was talking about some movie. I don't know. I didn't watch it. But anyway, the guy was up to bat and he kept striking out. And so he was just like in a really bad like slump in his career. So he finally goes up to bat for whatever, you know, it's a movie, so it's probably extremely and overly dramatic. And everyone starts booing him. And his wife, girlfriend, whomever, stands up and, like, starts clapping, whatever it is. So somehow, some way, again, it's a movie, he looks over and sees her public support amongst all the boos. And amongst all the, you know, the strikeouts that he's gotten up to that point. And it gave him the I don't know if courage is the right word, but the motivation to get up there and, of course, hit a home run and all as well. But in one of her questionnaires, one of the guys uses that as an example. And he says, it is so important for women to support publicly, to know that their wife is behind them. It helps them at home to make better decisions, but it also helps them, like, men want to go out and conquer Everest. Like, they want to go out there and they want to conquer Everest.
Slay the dragons.
Right. And in order to have the courage to do that, they have to know that their woman is behind them 100%.
Right.
And that's what gives them the courage, really, to do it and know that, okay, I can do this. I can lead this family because my wife trusts me, regardless of what I do. And so when they make a mistake, we can't be there to, you know, mm-hmm. and I told you so. We really have to be. And again, men, side note, because let me help us out. You have to get our buy-in first. Yeah. So that way, if you do mess up and it doesn't work, we're not there to do this because you didn't listen. We're there to be like, hey, I'm here with you, boo, because I thought it was going to work, or you got my buy-in and I'm here with you. And despite what happened, I'm here for you because we went and we did it, you know?
Yeah.
Success or failure, we went out there and we did it, and we did it together. So it's really important.
That's so key. You didn't miss that point, but I want to hammer it home a little more about getting the buy-in. Because our men's fear is that if I mess up, you will say, see, I told you so. But we don't take that and say, well, let me get her buy-in. If for no other reason, then she can't say, I told you so. Like, we did it together. We succeed or fail together. But that also means that you have to listen to some of her input. Like, getting your buy-in isn't saying, okay, we're going to sit down and talk. Here's my plan, X, Y, Z. Here's what we're going to do. You got it? Got it. That's not getting your buy-in. That's just relaying your plan. Getting your buy-in and saying, here's what I think we should do. What do you think about that?
And now,
and how do you think we should get there?
Absolutely. And women, when men do that, and then women, when that happens, don't then say, well, that was terrible. Let me instruct you, you know, you idiot man, because you really don't know anything, on how to really do it. So what you're going to do is A. Okay, then B. No, don't ask questions. C is this. No. Your C was dumb. So we're going to do, like, let's not do, and we don't do it like that, but no, sometimes.
You absolutely do.
That's how, whether we mean it that way or not, that's how a man receives it. And when they receive it that way, it's actually received as disrespect. And disrespect in that she doesn't trust me. She doesn't trust my logic. She doesn't think I'm smart enough. She thinks I'm an imbecile. I'm just a dumb man and I don't know anything. And that's how they receive that type of feedback. So it really does have to be a collaborative effort, coming together the minds where we agree and we give and take a little bit. And then at the end of the day, we are fist bumping it out because this is the plan and this is what we're going to do.
And hopefully doing some other bumping.
So That is my semi-book review, listener letter, and experience on this Love and Respect. I don't know how long that was.
That's almost 30 minutes.
Okay. Do you have anything you like? Any final thoughts?
No, I think...
we don't have to go through them.
I think that was actually really informative even for me. And now I don't have to read the book because you just gave me.
It is a fantastic book. I listened to it on Audible. It's really, really great. The author is Emerson Eckridge. And again, he has a podcast with his son and it's called the Love and Respect Podcast. It's really good. I'm thinking about doing a for women only, another one about women, mothers and identity or something like that. I haven't quite thought about it all the way. It's his first time hearing it because I don't like telling him stuff when I'm thinking
about it. For women only spinoff.
Because he does stuff like this and I don't really feel comfortable with that. I haven't quite decided about how I want to do it, but it'll be something about, I'm thinking of the right terms I want to use, but something about women not losing their identity in motherhood. Something like that. I haven't quite decided how I want to word it.
That's good. That's good. Because y'all do.
Because we do.
I complained about that early.
You did?
Yeah. But remember, I used to want you to do all the stuff you did before we had Zay Zay. Mm-hmm. You were like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, and you might have been able to do some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wanted you to come to the plays and you were like, can't. Got a baby. It's like, you can get somebody to babysit. Nope, got a baby. You know what I mean? But yeah. I think since the baby comes out of you, you feel more of a connection.
Yeah.
Probably. I love the kids, too.
It's the nurturing.
It's the nurturing. So I'm trying to nurture them right out of this house at 18. You feel me? Go away to college. Out of state. I'll pay the extra. I got you, fam. What's that? $15,000 more? Yes. Go to Harvard. Don't go to UCLA. No, sir. So. What, you want to come back and get a sandwich? Go to NYU. Study abroad. How's Oxford? Oxford's good. Singapore University Community College.
Singapore University Community College.
Like, that'd be good. But no, I think that'd be good if you decide to do that. So,
I'm thinking about it. Again, thank you guys. This kind of piggybacked again off submission. If you haven't listened to that, recommend it. Thought it was a good podcast. This was kind of all over the place, but I actually thought it was
pretty good. I don't think it was all over the place. I think we had various points within the place.
We had various points.
Well, if you're not like, boom, 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 nothing extra. Anytime we talk about anything extra, you're like, it was all over the place.
I know, because I do like to be very, like, linear.
I'm out here like, let's have a good time. Take your shirt off. Run naked through the streets. Let it hang out. Let it breathe. All right, your boy Cam on stage. Melissa on stage. Don't forget, next week. No, wait. 2 weeks from now.
June 6th.
2 weeks from this week being May 17th. We'll be... Oh, I'm sorry. Next week, we will be at More Than Pretty with Erica Campbell and friends. And 3 weeks from now, we'll be in Houston at Fallbrook Church. And that's in Houston, Texas. So more details, hit me up. You can email me, kevonstage@gmail.com, if you have questions. I will be starting posting stuff starting tomorrow. So you guys are the first to hear about it. Till next time.
Oh, Kev's going to be at MegaFest if you're going to be there. I'm not going to be there. Oh, it's not till August. It's kind of early. He's so excited. You're like super duper excited.
I cannot believe it!
His face was on the face with TD. That was like huge. We're really excited. And then I wanted to say something else. Oh, the movie, Kev.
Why you want to talk about the movie so much? We're very close, Family Exchange. We're in final tweak stage.
That's so exciting, and it's really good.
So bitty excite. We watched the first cut yesterday. Shared with like our family and friends, close family and friends. I ain't share it with all y'all because I need y'all to buy it. I'm very proud of it. I'm very happy for it. We're gonna.
It's really good. I think you guys will like it.
Sundance Film Festival.
I think those are all the announcements.
More things to come on that. And we'll see you guys next time. And hopefully next time is next week.
Keep your fingers crossed.